If you could please open your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 15, the Bible says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Verse 23, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray you'd be with the Sunday school hour. Lord, I pray you'd just be with this message. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd have your will and your way through this message. In my heavenly name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I began to think, a preacher always, I guess, is thinking about messages and stuff. And when Pastor Dave asked me if I could do Sunday school, this message kept going through my mind. And verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And I began thinking about how much we actually love our Savior and how much we actually love Jesus and how much we actually show His love. And we know all the verses in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," and we know that He loves us. But many times I think in our Christian lives we use our Savior as a one-way street. We want to be loved. We want to be. Society is so self-centered. Society always thinks about themselves, and everything has to be fair, and everything has to be everything like that. And everybody's a winner, and everybody's not a winner. I hate to lose, and you know, I was raised at Bethel Baptist Church, so sometimes I cheat to win. But you know, everything has to be fair. But when it comes to our Savior, we just want all the love. We just want him to show love, and we don't want to have to put anything back into it. And you say, well, you know, I come to church every Sunday, and I come to church all the time. You know, I began thinking about that. And, you know, we make church such a hard thing to come to. It's really not that much harder one more day out of the week to get out of the bed. It's really not that much harder one day out of the week to come. And I understand that's the way that we serve the Lord in a way, and many of us do things and above coming to church, and we work in the church, but do we really show them throughout the week that we love them? Do we really show them throughout the week that we really... I began thinking about, you know, we teach the kids, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." We teach them, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world," and we don't sing it. I haven't heard it here, but Lima, we sang some weird song, 1, 2, 3, "Jesus loves me, 1, 2, Jesus loves you, 3 and 4, He loves you more than ever loved before," and the stinking thing never ends, because when you get to the end, but instead we'll sing it again. And you know, we sang it 48 times on the way to church, because the kids like singing it over and over again, and I'm glad that we teach them that Jesus loves them, because if Jesus didn't love us, then we'd be on our way to hell tonight, and that's important. I'm not belittling the fact that Jesus loves us. Don't get me wrong. If you walk away thinking that I think that we don't need to concentrate on how much Jesus loves us, you misunderstood what I was trying to say this morning. But when I was up in Michigan there, we went to the Upper Peninsula for a trip with the college. Anybody ever been to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan? Beautiful up there. Grandpa and Grandma, when they took me up there, Grandpa and Grandma went up there. And we was driving across the Mackinac Bridge, and there were 60 kids on the bus, and it's a 66-passenger bus, and, you know, you can't get 66 Baptists on one of them things. But, you know, we had 60 kids on there, and it was 30 people overloaded, and we're all jammed up in there. And they're singing songs, and they were singing some song, "In the beginning God made me, and the forest was filled with trees, but in the end he had lots of fun when he made a hippo that weighed a ton." And I'm sitting there thinking, and then they're going, "Hip, hip, hip, hippopotamus." It's like, you know, we're supposed to be adults now. We're supposed to be college. We're singing these ridiculous songs. But one kid from, his name was Jacob from South Carolina. I love the South. You know, I love the South food. Southern food, I love Southern singing. I didn't say that I like Southern gospel, I just said I like Southern singing. And I like how things go. And he was in the back of the bus, and boy, that kid had a loud mouth. There's many times at about 1 o'clock in the morning that I would like to just strangle him because he just wouldn't shut up. But on this day, I'll never forget it. He leaned back with all of his might and he said,
I love Jesus, he's my Savior. I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, he's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. And you got 60 kids that was raised in church in a confined space on a bus, and most of them know how to sing harmony. And the next verse came around, and I love Jesus, hallelujah. And it's not hallelujah, it's hallelujah when you're from the South. But I love Jesus, yes I do. I love Jesus, he's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. The third time around, we go, then we're really getting with it. And the bus driver, he starts joining in too, that he stopped paying attention to the road because there was tears rolling down his face. And in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, coming across the Mackinac Bridge, here we are with the windows down, singing as loud as we can. Well, the bus driver beside us decided that he wanted to see whose bus was faster, because one was a Ford, one was a Chevy. So here we are, 1978 buses that should be in a junkyard right now, because somehow they passed in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and we're flying down 75, raising each other. And the other bus hears, I love Jesus, hallelujah, I love Jesus, yes I do. So we have 120 kids going down 75 side by side, singing, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, I love Jesus, yes I do. And I think about that very often, because if something like that doesn't start stirring your heart,
right,
something's wrong with you. Right. And I began thinking that day that maybe we should show Jesus we loved him a little bit more. After everything that he's done for us, after all the sins that he took upon him that day when he took the bitter cup, yeah, after he allowed wicked hands to beat him and pull out his beards and spit upon him and place a crown of thorns on his head. After everything that he does for us, we can't show him that we love him a little more. We can't serve him a little more. He said, well, I'm tired and I'm getting older and I'm getting up in age. You can still serve him.
Yes.
What happened to prayer? We was all gung-ho about prayer when our pastor was sick. What happened to it? We can still serve him no matter what. And if you start thinking about everything our Savior has done for us, everything our great God has done for us, everything that he's provided for us, and, you know, I was here last night doing some things, and I got tired, and I just wanted to sit down and think, and I picked up a Sword of the Lord. And I normally like the Sword of the Lord, but when I was looking through the Sword of the Lord, I got very discouraged, because it was homosexuality this, homosexuality that. This happened, and my wife came home the other day and told me she heard on the radio in the state of California, if you're transgenderly confused, they passed a law where the boys can go in the girls' bathroom and the girls can go in the boys' bathroom, and the same with the locker rooms. And it gets discouraging. And I understand, things get discouraging, it weighs you down, and I sat there, it's like, I give up. If we're to this point in society, I said, I give up. It's like, what are we going to do? But then I came to the altar and I started praying, and, you know, I like it sometimes when the Holy Spirit slaps you upside the head. And I always picture, I know he doesn't talk this way, but I always picture him talking, I was like, stupid. I called you to preach for a reason. You got saved for a reason. You're sitting in a church for a reason. And I began thinking about that verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I started thinking about us as a church, as a group of Christians across the country. If we loved him a little bit more, if we loved him a little bit more. I mean, if you think how much, if you think about the song about if we could eat the oceans fill and of the sky a parchment made, where every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, or could the scroll contain the whole, those stretch from sky to sky. If you think about that, and you think about how much then we love him back. Man, if we loved him a whole bunch more, think about how much more we would do for him.
Amen.
I started thinking about, I understand that we've only been married a little over a year, but I started thinking about my marriage with my wife. And because I love her, I want to be faithful to her. I don't want to do anything, though, that would upset her. I don't want to do anything that would cause tension between our relationship. I want to be faithful to her, but how much are we really faithful to God? And I know I'm going to repeat the same thing through this whole message, but if we think about really how much he loves us, would we do a little bit more? Would we get up and go to that church service that we really don't want to go to? Would we tell that one about him that we really don't want to tell? I'm a horrible witness. I'll be the first to, I'm a horrible witness. But you know, if you
just live your life, and I'm not for lifestyle evangelism, I'm not saying that, but if you try to live your life as a Christian, though, people are going to know. And I always hate that when there's a Christian, and I last time I taught Sunday school, I told a story about a man that said he was a saved, and he said he was a Christian. And I wanted the way he talked, the way he looked, the way he did, and I said, why? And he said, because I got mad and bitter, and I walked out of church. And my answer was back to him, but does Jesus still love you? Does the Lord still love you? He said, yes. I said, well, why aren't you showing that you love him back? Because when you walk away, and when we don't do the things we're supposed to, it's just basically like spitting in his face. Yeah. I know you did everything for me. I know that you died upon the cross for me. I know you took all my sins, and you was there for me when I needed you, but I don't show any love back. And I began thinking about our prayer lives with him. And I teach this to the kids quite a lot, or say this to the kids quite a lot. It's, every time we get for a prayer, what always is it? Lord, can I have this? Can I have that? Lord, I want this. Would you please do this? Lord, I want this. I need this. I really need it, Lord. Lord, I need it. Just, I need it. We never spend any time to say, Lord, I love you. Thank you for everything that you've done for me. Lord, thank you for giving me a Bible that I can read. Thank you for all those people that gave their lives so I could have a Bible. And I began thinking about when we went to the Philippines and we took Barry Precious Seed, gave us Bibles to take with us. And then Dad bought 20 leather-back Bibles that was the New Testament or the Soul Winners type of New Testament Bibles that he to give the preachers. And on the way there, through all the baggage exchanges and luggage exchanges, they got beat up and some of them got ripped and brand new Bibles and Dad pulled them out and was upset. We was at our Carpio's church, a Faith Baptist church in La Trinidad, Philippines. Dad got those 20 Bibles out and he said, I'm sorry, but some of them's ripped. And his tears started going down their faces because they never had a Bible that was theirs. And they was preachers, pastoring churches. They never had a Bible that was theirs. They was ripped up and tattered and torn, but they were still appreciative of it. And I'm thinking, man, I live in the United States of America. I can go to stinking Walmart and find a paperback King James. That's the only one that they have, that's a King James, but I can at least find a paperback one. The nice looking ones are always a perversion. But you can get a paperback Bible, and there we had to fly 2,500 miles to give them a ripped up Bible, and they sat there and cried over it, and then Dad and I had to sit there and sign them all. I think, what do you stinking want my signature? And Miss Liz came up to me the other day and had me sign the Bible. It's like, you're my Sunday school teacher. I'm not supposed to be signing your Bible. who am I signing the Bible? But I began thinking of how much we take for granted. Amen. How much we take our Savior for granted. All the things he's brought us through. All the things that we've come from and we still take. You know, I didn't grow up on the other side of the tracks, per se. I grew up right here. My family's been a member of here since 1984. I grew up right here. But, you know, still, all the stuff that I've done, all the sins I've committed against him, all the things that I know I should have done for him that I didn't do, and yet he still loves me, and I can't show him that I love him back, it's pathetic. It's really pathetic. That he's been so good to us, and, you know, it's easy. You hear sometimes, you know, you're an easy person to love because, you know, you don't say much back. You know, I'm a hard person to love because I'm opinionated. I'm a hard person to love because I want it my way. I'm stubborn. I'm a hard person to love. But you got those people up there that are easy to love. How much easier is it to love your Savior?
Amen.
That's right.
How much easier is it to love him? He's done everything for us. And I know this might be elementary today, but I think if he loved me, he'd keep my commandments. Four verses there in one chapter that he talks about loving him. But how many verses in the Bible does it talk about he loved us?
Right.
Yep. You know, he really doesn't really expect, now take this for what it is. I don't think he really expects that much from us. But we need to love him.
Yep.
Our country is going to hell.
Yeah.
Every day you hear something even worse and worse and worse. And I we don't have the TV at home hooked up to anything. But you know, I looked on my phone sometimes at the news, because I can't stand the news, because you just find that somebody killed this person. A school shooting here.
Gay marriage in this place is now being legalized. Abortions are at an all-time record of how many they're doing a day. And I just, if America wouldn't have started turning our back and started becoming self-centered, if America wouldn't have started becoming what is about me, what I can get for myself, what I can have. You know, if you start reading through the New Testament, everybody always gave up everything, sold their houses, everything they had, and gave it to the church. Why? Because they wanted to see something happen with the Lord's ministry. But we get upset just to give the 10% that we're supposed to give to Him. We grudgingly put it in the offering plate because we don't want something bad to happen to us. So we know to put it in. But the Lord still knows your intentions. We're always trying to pull something over God, but you can't pull nothing over Him. We use our Savior like He's a genie in a bottle, and I use this illustration a lot. But we just use it to rub on the side and come out, and He'll give us 3 wishes, and that's what we use Him for. We don't sit only back to think about Easter time of what He actually did for us. And then we might get a little emotional when our preacher gets up and starts talking about how they nailed Him to a cross and how they whipped Him and beat Him, and he'll get over dramatic and talk about the scourgings. I preached a message a couple months ago in Super Church, and I got over dramatic with it. And I started getting emotional talking about it. And the kids and I started doing the whipping thing, and I was raising my voice when I was whipping, and they lashed me and they pulled back. And even a 7-8-year-old kid started getting tears in their eyes because they thought about what somebody did for them.
Right.
Because their hearts are tender. But we've sat here so long in these pews, our hearts begin to get calloused, and we begin to get used to what our Savior's done for us. We begin to get useful for what He's done. And then we make excuses on why we did something. What happened to the old time type of religion? When we messed up, we came to the altar and confessed it. Thank God we don't got to go to some man that's dressed like a woman and sit in a box and talk to him to confess our sins. But what happened to old-fashioned repentance? What happened to when you did something wrong that your heart was so burdened with you did something wrong that you had to confess it, that you confessed it to him, but then you come to the altar and you left it on the altar because you loved your Savior that much. You didn't want anything between you and Him, and you left it there and repented of it. What happened to that type of Christianity? I was talking to Brother Bob the other day. I don't even know if we know what a Christian really is anymore.
Yep.
We have an idea about what happened to Christians. And I'm not saying, oh, he thinks everybody in here is equal. I'm not saying that. I'll raise my hand. Pastor Dave says he's number one. I'll raise for number two that I'm most the wicked person. I'll let him have number one. That's the only thing I'll let him have number one on.
I win.
He wins. But if you think of all your sins, think of everything you've done, think about what He's done for us, why can't we do something more? Why can't we get a burden with our country again? Why can't what revival? Everybody's probably getting sick of that word, revival. Billy Turner's getting behind the pulpit and he's going to say the word revival. So I'm not going to disappoint you. I'll say it a couple more times before it's over. Revival. And I told him the other day, I said, I'm almost getting sick of it. It's like, we talk about revival, we talk about revival, we talk about revival, and you start to feel this great over, and Bethel has a good spirit all the time, but you start to feel this overwhelming spirit, but then what happens to it? What happened to the burden that we have? What happened to the burden that we have for souls? What happened to the burden that we have to do right? I'm going to spit on you before this is over. When I did TV class last time, I said, I haven't spit on him yet, but it's coming. But what happened to the of doing right? You say, well, this is 2013, and you can't preach that way anymore. And I don't know who did it, but somebody told my dad, he never told me who, but someone told my dad that he couldn't go out and build a church preaching the way that he preached. On January 30th of 2005, there was 43 people in that service. I think last week they had 216. Somebody liked it. People's looking forward to something that's true. People's looking forward to something they can hold on to that's rock solid.
I told my supervisor the other day, I said, by the time that I quit this place, I ain't even going to know how to tell the truth. I ain't even going to know what my real name is anymore because people lie so much. You hear coming through and they tell you a story. Next truck comes through, they tell you another story about the story you just heard about. And then five trucks later, they're telling you again, and that wreck that happened out on Route 80 that involved two semis is now an 85-car pileup because people just keep going. We don't know what the truth is anymore.
Yeah.
But here we have a Bible that's the truth, that's solid, that we can stand on. We have a church that preaches the truth, that we can stand on. But yet we have all these things that people don't have. And when we're in the Philippines, it was amazing. You know, we can't sit more than six people in a pew. We're uncomfortable about it. You know, we need our space. We got air conditioning. We sat in a church. It was 102 degrees with lizards on the wall. People sitting out in the back, on the balcony, because it was a house. People sitting out on the balcony, and they were still trying to get in. But we have padded pews that was padded in 1974. They're a little bit worn out now. But we have padded pews. We have air conditioning. We have a preacher that preaches the truth. But yet still, we have a hard time serving them. Yet still, we have a hard time showing them that we love them. We just care about that Jesus loves me, this I know. But we don't care about the love towards them back. You see, a parent that has a kid that went wayward, and yet through it all, they still love them. Yet through what all they do, they still love them. They've turned their back on them, maybe ran away, but yet through it all, they still love them. I heard a preacher tell a story one time. He said that Dr. Hiles told the story. He said that there was a young man. His name was Rich. He said he did everything that a young man should do, a young Christian. He said he came out to the teen soul wing. He sang in the teen choirs. Said he ran a bus route. He did everything that should have been done. He said this kid would, he surrendered to preach. He said this kid was about almost as perfect could get for a young man. He said, but he won't waver. Said he walked away. Said and his dad became very ill. He said that he got Dr. Hiles said he got a phone call and he went up to the hospital and he walked in. And that young man's dad was laying in the hospital bed, and he had a massive heart attack. And the doctor said, we don't understand. He was in perfect health. We don't understand. His arteries really isn't clogged. Nothing's really wrong. Nothing's going on, but he had a massive heart attack. Said, the only thing I can think of is that he's mourning the loss of his son. Said, he has his son still, but he hasn't seen his son in years. Dr. Sahil said he stayed by the bedside, and that man went home to be with the Lord. Said a couple minutes later, they turned, and that young man was standing in the doorway. Said, through all that thing that young man ever did, that dad loved his son so much that he got in such a deep depression that he died. And that young man came in, and he got on top of the bed, and he pulled his dad up, his lifeless dad up, and he began screaming at him that he loved him. Dr. Hiles said, he put his arm around him, and he said, but it's too late, son. You didn't love him back while you could. But thank God we can always love our Savior back. We can walk away and he'll always accept us to come back. He'll always love us back. But why don't we love him when the going's still good? Why don't we love him, but we only want to love him. We only want to get with him. We only want to do things when the going's bad. God, this is going on. This is going on. I need you. I need you to come comfort me. And he will. And thank God he will. But why don't we still love him when the going's still good? Why don't we still love him when all the bills are paid? Why don't we love him when we have cars in the driveway and food in the refrigerator and everything's great? Why don't we still love him then?
Right. Yeah, right.
Why don't we love him when things are good? Why don't we love him? But, you know, things start going bad and then we start, God, where you at? God never went anywhere.
Right.
He's still standing there. Why can't we love him then? So what's your problem? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. I love my Savior.
Amen.
And I'm tired of him abused by me and abused by other Christians.
Yep.
We take him for granted. We don't do what we're supposed to do. You know, I'm thrilled to death right now with the bus ministry. Wyndham had 53 on it last week, 48 on it the week before. They went down to five kids and they revived it. Yep. Things are going good. But I told them last week in the bus meeting, don't stop. Yeah. Don't stop. Don't get comfortable with what's going on. Keep going. Keep going forward. Keep pushing harder. Go for 60. Go for 70. I want 100. We had 98 stinking kicks last week. I wanted 100. We just threw away. And then when we get to 100, I want 150. You say, are you all about the numbers? No. When you sit on a bus and you watch little kids that nobody loves them,
right.
Little kids that get excited to get a couple cookies,
right.
Little kids that stay out in the church property and get hot dogs, and that they think's great, and they sneak back up and act like they didn't get one so they can get another one. And everybody goes, oh, Brother Bill, there he got one. I didn't see it, so what happened? What happened? But I encourage them, don't stop. When going's good, don't stop. When the going gets better, still don't stop. Don't stop. Our Savior said it. He took all of your sins, and if we would get that through our heads, we would have a whole lot harder time sinning, I think. If we got through our heads everything He's done for us, the one that was perfect, the one that was sinless, when He took that cup and took all of our sins upon Him that day, if we would think that and keep that in our mind and think about the wicked hands that placed Him on the cross, think about the wicked hands that put the nails through His hand and His feet, and the wicked people that spit upon Him, if we would keep that fresh in our heads all the time, maybe we could love Him a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always liked it when I was a kid in VBS, and I would sit in the first couple pews. Preacher get up and sing, I love Him better every day. Why? I'm not making this up to go with my sermon, but I really did like that song a whole lot more than Jesus Loves Me.
Amen.
I know Jesus loves me. I'm glad to sing Jesus Loves Me. But we need to start showing some appreciation back.
Amen.
That we love Him. And I was thinking about that song the other day. That I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus, He's my Savior. Jesus smiles and loves me too. I began to think about those two buses racing down 75 with those kids singing that song. And my heart began to burn because I began thinking, at least somebody loved Him for the moment. At least somebody was loving Him right then.
Yeah.
At least a little revival happened in those two old buses that day. A couple weeks later, we was in the dorm room and some things started going on and I got mad and I got out of the bed and I said, guys, calm down. A couple weeks ago, we used to sing about how much we love Jesus. Now here we are sitting at a Baptist college in the dorm room, acting like a bunch of heathen. And the kid that started that song put his head down. He went in his dorm, and there was a long hall between the rooms, and there was 8 bunks in this room and 8 bunks in that room, because we was in like a modular-type trailer. He got in the upper bunk of his bed. His bunk faced this way. Mine was here down the hall, but I could see down the hall in his bed. And all of a sudden, to the top of his lungs, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. Here we are. Here's the whole dorm saying it again. So we all got up and said, why don't we, they had this room that they, upstairs in the farmhouse across the way. And we all got up and there was couches all the way around. We went up the stairs and we went up there and we started praying. And we prayed and I said, guys, I was kind of the ringleader for some reason. I said, guys, why don't we not ask Him for a thing? Why don't we just tell Him that we love Him?
Yeah.
Why don't we just praise Him for a little while? And we prayed out loud. We was in that room for about 2 hours. And all those guys in that room that night prayed about how much they loved Him. Thanked Him for everything that they'd done. Thanked Him for letting them grow up in the churches they grew up in. You know, when that was all over, I think the Lord was pretty happy with what happened that night. And as we was walking back to our dorm room to go to sleep, once again, they started singing that song. And I've never, that's a chorus of the rest of the song. It's to the tune of Come Out, the beginning couple of bars of Come Out, Fountain of Every Blessing. And every time I think of that song, I kind of get a little excited about hearing that song. Because for once, it wasn't about how much He loved us, but it was about how much we loved Him.
Yes.
We was in the fellowship, where the fellowship track league. Dad asked me if I'd go down with them for a couple days back in May. They have the Bread of Life camp. And the Rochesters sung that song with the chorus in it. The blacks were there.
Yes.
And they got to that part, and all he said was, when it got to the chorus, Ben Rochester said, I love Jesus, hallelujah, and you couldn't hear anymore.
Right on.
because the people in that church was ranting and raving and screaming so loud. It was in one of the morning sessions, and I don't know if he was there for that, but there an altar call happened right in the middle of that song.
Amen.
Somebody starts preaching about how much we're supposed to love, how much he loves us, how much we're supposed to love him back. Something changes. The attitude on those buses, we were singing silly songs, but the attitude on those buses changed as soon as we started saying how much we loved him. And I just think this morning, and I'm done, we should be thankful for how much he puts up with us, and he still loves us no matter what. But I think we should think about how much we're supposed to be loving him and serve him a little more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you do for us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, you just help us, Lord, as your people, Lord, to give us a love for you, Lord, like we've never had. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you be with our preacher as he preaches the morning service. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would come down, Lord, and squeeze us tight this morning. Thank you for everything you do for us. In the heavenly name we pray. Amen.